Hey guys, I'm Katie.
And I'm Rebecca.
And this is Chills,
Thrills,
and Kills.
And Katie today is responsible for our true crime. So Katie, Woo! What are you what are you gonna tell me today?
I'm gonna talk about Betty Broderick.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay, well, once I get to telling you the details, you'll probably realize who this crazy bitch is.
Probably, because true crime is my jam, as it is probably most of yours who are listening. Obviously, yeah. Why would you be here?
Right. I mean, some people think she's a crazy bitch along with me. Some people think she was in the right. I guess we'll get your opinion when I'm done.
Alrighty.
Alright, so I'm just gonna jump right in by starting with my sources. So I use the LA Times, Fox News, All That's Interesting, Thrillist, and Wikipedia.
Yay, Wikipedia! Go donate if you can!
Yeah. Alright. Betty Broderick was born Elizabeth Ann Basilga in 1947 in Eastchester, New York. She grew up with five siblings and very strict parents. She was raised to be a housewife from a very young age, so she definitely grew up in, like, with the mindset of the 50s housewife is what you're supposed to be and there's no other way to live kind of thing.
Yeah.
According to many interviews with Betty over the years, she earned a degree from the College of Mount St. Vincent for early childhood, which is located in the Bronx in 1965. Which is kind of funny to me. I guess a degree in early childhood would fall into the whole 50s housewife thing, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but usually they don't let you go to college, so.
Right. She came from, like, a very, very, very Irish Catholic home, so they were very, the woman needs to stay home and raise 37 children. I come from an Irish Catholic family. I know.
I come from slight Irish background, but we definitely were not Catholic.
Yeah, definite Irish Catholic. Okay. That same year, she met the future father of her children, Dan Broderick. Like Betty, Dan was raised in a very Catholic home. The pair married on April 12th, 1969. She recalls Dan telling all of the housekeeping staff to leave while they were on their honeymoon and had her do all the cooking and cleaning while they were in the Caribbean for their vacation.
Cute.
That would have been a red flag for me.
Yeah.
Despite this, Betty returned from their honeymoon pregnant with her first daughter, Kim. Betty would give birth to four more children, a daughter, Lee, two sons, Rhett and Daniel, and an unnamed baby boy who died 2 days after birth. While Betty was home with the children, Dan finished his MD at Cornell University and then enrolled into Harvard Law School. While Dan was in school, Betty was the primary breadwinner for the family, earning money by selling Avon and Tupperware. Which, way to go for being able to support an entire family on that kind of income.
Yeah, although, I mean, I guess back then, it wasn't as prevalent as it is today, whereas, like, there's Mary Kay, and there's It Works, and there's all of those different companies, so, like, back then, it was mostly just Avon and Tupperware.
Yeah, but, I mean, she had four kids, her husband was in school. Back then, Avon was pretty much door-to-door.
Oh, I mean, so, totally. I mean, like, it's how? Extremely fucking impressive, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not negating that at all.
Okay. Dan finished his degree and made quite a name for himself. So, with his medical background and then going to Harvard, he became a malpractice attorney, which, that's where the money is.
Oh, yeah.
So he finished his degree and made quite a name for himself and was invited to join San Diego's oldest law firm, which is Gary, Carey, Ames, and Fry. Yeah.
All right.
That's a lot. Which brought in lots of money. He was a malpractice lawyer, which brought in at least $1 million a year. And that was back in the 60s, 70s. So that was a lot of money.
Damn.
The family lived in an extremely comfortable lifestyle. The couple often attended many high-profile events at Fairbanks Ranch Country Club and the Warner Springs Ranch. People said Betty was always dressed to the nines in Oscar de la Renta and other big-name brands. The family owned a ski condo in Keystone, Colorado, several luxury vehicles, and a boat. The kids all attended the most prestigious private schools and summer camps. In 1981, Dan hired former flight attendant Linda Kolkina. Linda was a 22-year-old blonde bombshell who some say looked very similar to Betty at that age. She didn't. I looked at pictures. Linda was way prettier. Despite hearing this, Betty said the following of Linda, and this will just give you a little taste of who Betty really is. This is just a phase, maybe even a bad time. It's just too stupid to be true. The girl has nothing on me. I'm way prettier, smarter, classier. She's dumb, uneducated. She is a dumb, uneducated tramp with no background or education or even talent. He'll eventually get over her.
Wow.
Yeah. In 1983, Betty began to suspect that Dan was having an affair with Linda. She describes 1983 as being like an axe through her life. During this time, she recalls a talk she had with her then-husband where he supposedly told her that he didn't love her anymore and, in fact, he hated her. So, she'll say a lot of things that people said about her or did to her or whatever, but there's never, ever been any proof of any of this. I think it's just kind of one of those, she's trying to play the victim things, because mm-hmm. she definitely enjoys the pity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Betty was absolutely correct about the affair, although at the time Dan did not admit it. On Dan's 39th birthday, Betty decided to visit him at his office where he found remnants of chocolate cake and champagne. Then being told by the receptionist that Dan had been gone with Linda most of the day, this set Betty off. Which it would have, me too.
Oh yeah, I would not be down with that. I would take him for everything he was worth.
Oh yeah, absolutely. She went home, piled all of Dan's very expensive custom-made clothing in a large pile in the backyard, and them all on fire.
Yep.
Which I'm not above, so yeah.
I mean, why not sell them, though?
Nah, that takes too much time.
I mean, fair.
And they're custom, and he was very, very short.
Ah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. In February, Dan moved out against Betty's wishes. Eventually, Dan admitted to the affair, and he began to file for custody of their children. Betty did not put up much of a fight for her children. Instead, she actually dropped them all off on Dan's doorstep.
Wow.
Yeah, what a mother.
Yeah.
During the time of their nasty divorce in 1986, which came 4 years after Dan originally filed, Betty began leaving extremely profane messages on Dan and Linda's answering machine. So he admitted to the affair, and then they moved in together like 2 months after he moved out of Betty's house.
What a garbage human.
Yeah. So during a phone call with one of her sons, the following was recorded. She admitted that she could never change because, quote unquote, I hate daddy. She also repeatedly called Linda a bitch, to which Danny replied, if you care about your family, you'd stop using such bad language. So she was talking to her, like, 8-year-old son.
Mm-hmm.
She also said, he's absolute scum. He cheated and lied and fucked around. You have no reason to be mad at me. I didn't cause any of this. Daddy and the bitch caused all of this, she continued. Danny Broderick tells his mother in the call, we want to live with you, Mom, but you're making it harder for all of us. You probably don't even care because all you want is your money. Toward the end of the call, Betty Broderick told her son, I wish Dan would just die and Linda would get drunk and drive her car off of a cliff. So obviously she's not a fan of either one of them, which I don't blame her for that.
I don't blame her for that either. And honestly, I don't really blame her for wanting the money either, because like, had she not struggled to put him through school...
Right.
He wouldn't have any of it.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Not that I'm condoning murdering people because you don't get your money, but.
Yeah. And don't pull your children into that bullshit.
Yeah. As a kid
who's. Keep your kids out of it.
As a kid whose parents both pulled her into that bullshit, please don't.
Yeah, do not do that. And don't make up lies about people, okay? He cheated on you. He moved on with some bimbo. We get it. You're upset. You have every right to be upset. But don't make up lies about these people. Like, it's, that makes him look bad enough.
Yeah, especially, like, I think the worst thing you can do to a person after they've done that to you is hold your head high and act like the, and just be the most gracious person you can on the planet, because then people are going to be like, wow, what a dick he was.
Right.
Obviously easier said than done, but
yeah,
whatever.
So another recorded call with one of her other children ended with the following before Betty hung up. You want everything. You want all the kids, all the money, and to get rid of Linda. And it's not going to work, Mom. You've been mad long enough. Betty Broderick replied by saying, no, I haven't. Yeah. A call between Betty and her oldest daughter, Kim. She mentioned, I'm going to kill the son of a bitch. I'm going to shoot him in the head. She mentioned the world would be a greater place and everybody would thank her.
Yeah, I don't see people thanking you for that, but...
Absolutely not, especially not your children.
Oh, definitely not.
Mm-hmm. When Kim Broderick replied to her mother and mentioned, positive mother, and spend the remainder of your life in jail, Betty replied back, no, nobody will consider what occurred to me. So, what she says occurred to her is not only did he cheat on her, but apparently she was mentally and physically abused for years.
Uh-huh.
He used to beat the crap out of her in front of the children, but they don't remember because they were too young. He used to degrade her and call her fat and all this and that. There was never not one single account of her having any injuries, bruises, scrapes, scratches, nothing. So, and the children actually recall her verbally abusing Dan. So... That's, I mean, I feel sorry for her as far as, you know, her marriage fell apart because her husband was a cheating dirtbag. I get that. But I don't feel sorry for you for making up all of these lies about these people and just trying to make them seem like they're worse people than they actually were. Like, you're just making yourself look dumb because everybody knows it's a lie.
Yeah, there's a way to handle that. Like, Lucille Ball, her husband cheated on her so many times. And look at what they've created, like, what they created together, despite and during all of that.
Yeah.
So.
Just, sometimes you gotta take the high road. I know certain, you know, people deal with these things in different ways, and that's all good and fine. But at the end of the day, the only person you're really hurting is you, especially if you're making up lies, because everybody sees right through it.
Well, that and you're hurting your children, but. Yeah. Obviously, this bitch did not care about that, so.
She absolutely did not. She also ignored various restraining orders Dan had taken out on her. She would show up unannounced their home. She once broke in, spray-painted the inside of their $325,000 home black. She spray-painted the inside of the fireplace. She spray-painted all of the walls. Like, I don't know. She shattered mirrors and took a coconut cream pie and smeared it all over the master bedroom.
Why?
And, right. I didn't get it, but it was very heavily specified in all of these sources what kind of pie it was.
It was very important that we knew what kind of pie that was.
Yes, it's a very important detail. That's all you're going to take away from this case.
A banana cream pie is far more spiteful than an apple pie, you guys.
It's a coconut cream pie.
Oh, shit. Rebecca. That's even worse, Katie.
So now the title of this episode has to be The Coconut Cream Pie and whatever.
No, it has to be the most spiteful of the pies.
There you go.
I'm texting that to myself right now so I don't forget.
Okay. So she took that the coconut cream pie and smeared it all over their master bedroom. In February of 1996, Dan sold her home without her knowledge. He did this by having a judge sign over Betty's half of the home after she refused to sign the sales papers for the home. So, he did this, and this makes him sound like a horrible person, but he did it because this home was massive. She was living there alone because he had custody of all four children, and he actually bought her another home.
Yeah, see, that's... I'm not going to say he was a good guy, but he was trying to, like, keep her taken care of in some way, at least. So, I don't...
Yeah. She, of course, was pissed. But, like I said, he bought her another home. I mean, I could see wanting to keep that because that's the home you raised your family in. But what are you doing in this big... Because it was a humongous house. What are you doing in this huge house all by yourself? The bills are, I'm sure, ridiculous for one person. So, I mean, I feel like he was doing her a favor. I mean, I get because she didn't sign the papers, her getting upset. But realistically, come on now.
I think her whole thing was she was used to living like a life of luxury. Like, she had the big house and she could have whatever she wanted because of the money he was making. And now not only did he take away that income, but he's also now taking away her lavish home.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So he did this by having a judge sign over Betty's half of the home after she refused to sign the sales papers for the house. Furious about the sale of the home, Betty drove over to Dan's house and rammed her car into his front door. Even though her own children were in the home at this time.
Yeah, again, she doesn't give a shit about the kids. Why would that affect her?
Yeah. Betty openly told her children on numerous occasions that she was going to kill their father. Dan had Betty arrested on multiple occasions and even had her committed to a mental institution. Betty was receiving $16,000 per month in alimony payments, and he was also paying every single one of her bills.
Wow.
Yes.
Can I just comment on how much I wish my dad had been like that? My dad used to send, when my mom still had us, before my dad had us taken away from her, my dad would send her $500 a month for three children.
Yeah, that's...
And this was while she was unemployed. So there were... And we live in California. There was no way she was paying the bills on that.
Mm-mm. Absolutely no way. There's no way she was paying the bills on that in North Carolina. In North Carolina, it has been proven to be one of, like, the very cheapest states to live in. So that's saying a lot.
Yeah, but $500 will feed three children plus her and... and buy us what we needed for school and. But sure, bitch, go off about the fact that he's paying your alimony and giving you over $1,000 a month. That's fine. Yeah.
So $16,000 a month in alimony payments. She actually tried to contest this because she wanted $75,000 a month.
I'm sorry, $75,000 or $7,500?
$75,000.
That's more than I make in a year.
Yeah, so she was getting $16,000.
Holy I heard that wrong. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, literally, and all of her bills were paid, so no money was coming out of this. So, what are you bitching about?
I just, in my head, I'm just hearing Billy Eichner yelling, Jesus Christ!
Yeah. $16,000 a month. I couldn't spend $16,000 in a month.
I mean, I could if I tried really hard. Or if I went on some weird travel spree where I was like, I'm going to do every single tour in the area. I'm going to buy every souvenir that I liked. And I'm going to buy, like, I'm going to refurnish my home while I'm out of state. Maybe.
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is she was receiving $16,000 a month and had absolutely no bills to pay, and she was still being greedy.
That is absurd. I would look at that guy and I'd be like, you know what? Thank you for cheating on me. Thank you for this. Mm-hmm. Now I can do whatever the fuck I want. I don't have to be with a man, and bye!
Exactly. You would think, let me just take this money and go on my merry way.
Right? And then get paid to date around. And then when you're with, and then like, say you want to settle down with a guy, just be like, nah, 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 you're going to keep your house. We will basically, we'll act married, but we're not going to get married. So I can get alimony for the rest of my life and we will both be set. I don't comprehend the depth of this woman's mental problems. I just don't.
Yeah. So Dan actually got smart, and he had it to where every time she would call his home or every time she would show up at his home unannounced, he would subtract anywhere from $100 to thousands from this amount.
That's going to make things better.
Well, it's not going to make things better, but the only thing she wants from him is his money. And if he's no longer giving her his money, you know, I guess he was doing it to try to be like, hey,
here's a deterrent. This is punishment stop for, it.
Right. Stop acting like a crazy psycho bitch. So, yeah.
I mean, I get what he was trying to do, but knowing, like, having the knowledge that I do of what sets people off, if money's her trigger, taking more money away is not going to calm her.
Yeah, well, you're right, because obviously she didn't give a fuck, because 1 month she actually went $4,000 in the hole because she called his home so many times.
Now, when you say $4,000 in the hole, did he, like, make her pay $4,000?
No, he just started taking money from her alimony until there was no money left. So, basically, she called his house so many times, he charged her $20,000. Because she kept calling and leaving voicemails. She would show up at his house. There were multiple times where he would come home and she would be in his house.
Jesus, fuck. Okay, so basically he was like, all right, well, you're not getting any alimony this month. And next month you're getting $4,000 less.
Yes.
Woof. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she basically screwed herself. But yeah. Dan and Linda ended up getting married in April of 1989. He hired security guards, but drew the line at wearing a bulletproof vest like his new bride wanted. He told Linda that Betty would never be dumb enough to kill her golden goose. Although Linda and Dan married, Betty still showed up their home and left messages on their answering machine. I mean, obviously, that's not going to change that.
Yeah, obviously, that's going to make it worse.
Mm-hmm. So Dan had had enough. He sent legal papers to Betty's home on Friday, November 3rd, 1989, threatening to file criminal contempt of court charges if she did not stop leaving vulgar messages on his machine and showing up unannounced to his home. This was the last straw for Betty. I also want to throw in that Dan never tried to stop her from seeing her children. So he didn't charge her for showing up at his home. He only charged her for showing up at his home unannounced. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's wrong.
No, that's absolutely, like, well within his rights.
Yeah, he gave her access to the children. He allowed them to talk to her whenever they wanted to. So it's not like he was trying to keep those kids from their mother. And I feel like if he was as spiteful as she tries to make him sound, that would have been the first thing he did.
Oh, it absolutely would have been the first thing he did, because that's the first thing my dad did. She had to have paid visitation.
Yeah.
I hate this woman, because this guy, while he doesn't sound like the greatest guy, he's a lot greater than most.
Yeah. The following Sunday at dawn, Betty drove to her ex-husband's home, let herself in with a key she had taken from one of her children. She ascended the stairs, entered the master bedroom, stood at the foot of the bed and pointed her revolver and began firing with no hesitation at all. Out of the five shots, three hit the sleeping couple. One caught Linda in the neck and ended up lodged in her brain. Another hit her in the chest. The third got Dan in his back. Betty recalls Dan saying, "Okay, okay, you got me," before reaching for the phone on his side of the bed. Betty, in fear that he would call the police, ran to the side of the room, unplugged the phone, and left the home. Linda was killed almost instantly, and Dan died slowly from blood filling up his right lung. 5 days after the killings, over 600 people attended a memorial service held for Dan and Linda. Betty later told an LA Times reporter, He went off with that bimbo at 40, driving a red Corvette. Haven't we heard this before? Isn't this what all men do in a midlife crisis? Betty also told the reporter that the divorce would have ended in her favor, which is, you know, the $75,000 a month that she wanted. Mm-hmm. Then she would have been fine, and I would have had my home, my kids. I would still be a size 6, and I would have done my superior dance. So because you weren't given $75,000 a month, you got fat, is basically what you're saying. You didn't have custody of mm-hmm. your children, and you lost your home. No.
Yep.
No. You're an idiot.
So I'm guessing she said that after it was already, like, known that she did it.
Yeah, this was when she was in jail.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's an article that is nothing but an interview done from her with a reporter from the LA Times, and it's literally like 6 pages long, and most of it is just her woe is me story. Mm-hmm. And it is really, like, I couldn't make it past the third page. I was like, this is ridiculous. You're trying to make yourself look like a saint, and you're absolutely not, but okay.
Yeah.
Once the story hit major newspapers, Betty began to receive letters from women who said they understood why Betty did what she did. Yeah. As of July 17th, 2020, a page on Facebook titled Supporters and Friends of Betty Broderick has 1,400 likes, and there are several posts including information on how to reach Betty, send her money, and things you can and cannot send to her. There is also a petition floating around to free Betty, which currently has 1,700 signatures and countless comments defending her actions. Oh my God.
You know, I wish that I could say I was surprised, but, like, knowing that Sheila Eddy, one of the girls who killed Skylar Neese, has supporters and has the same thing going on, I'm not surprised at all. People are fucking dumb, and they're garbage, and I don't know. I hate it. I hate everything.
Yeah. Betty has swayed the opinions of these people by playing the damsel card. She claims she was assaulted by Dan, which there was never any evidence to prove this, that she was mentally abused by both Dan and Linda. Apparently, Linda would call her a fat cow and even send her weight loss vitamins in the mail. There's never been any proof of these allegations. Some of Linda's very close friends say that Linda was not mean-spirited enough to have ever done this. There were several times when she could have picked up the phone when Betty was calling and been disgusting to her. There were several times they were face-to-face. She could have been rude and mean to her, but she never was. She never tried to step in between Dan and Betty's co-parenting relationship, even though she very well could have. She could have been like most stepmothers in this kind of situation and just cut off all ties between her and her children. Mm-hmm. Because if she could have proved she was acting this way, they definitely would have won that case.
Totally.
So, yeah. All four of Betty's children constantly harp on the fact that Betty's a crazy bitch.
Understandably so, yeah.
Yeah, she was sentenced to 32 years to life in prison on February 8th, 1992. In 2010, her first request for parole was denied because she showed absolutely no remorse. She didn't even try to fake it. She was denied again in November of 2011 and January 2017. She will not be eligible again until January 2023. She is currently 72 years old and spends her time answering fan mail from disgruntled ex-wives at the California Institute for Women in Chino, California. There have been several movies and TV shows with appearances of characters that mimic Betty. A Woman Scorned is probably the most popular movie that's out there. And I saw that movie years ago, like a long, long time ago. I want to say it came out in like 1996 or 94. And it is a great movie. And when I watched it, I was probably in high school. I had no idea that it was a true story, so I went to watch the movie again, and I was like, oh, I love this movie. So, yeah, that was Betty Broderick and her crazy shit.
Jesus fucking yikes.
Yeah.
Like, I know I've heard this before, but I think it just upsets me so deeply because of my own experiences and because of those poor fucking children.
Right?
Like, I don't have either parent that I feel really emotionally connected to, but I can put myself in their shoes and imagine if I had one parent who's garbage, and then I have one parent who's genuinely trying to take care of me and look out for me. And then through that parent, I inherit a step parent who actually genuinely cares for me. And then the parent who's a piece of shit takes them from me.
Right.
Ugh, I.
Both of them.
Those poor kids. I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
On that note, I think we should probably take a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break so I can go cry. I don't know why I say go cry. I'm already in my crying closet. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to cry a little bit, and then we will come back, and I will tell you scary stuff.
Yeah!
Yeah, so back in a bit.
Do you often find that you need a distraction from everyday life?
Do you like true crime, conspiracy theories, paranormal stories, and other weird, dark tales?
Well, tune in and turn up Weird Distractions Podcast, where we, your hosts, Christy
and Alex,
bring you a weird distraction to help you get through the work week.
Every Sunday morning, you can find our show on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, Good Pods, and more.
So grab a snack, get comfy,
and make sure to lock those doors. Need a distraction? We got you.
Hey, Rebecca, guess what?
What?
I got my Heathen Hippo candle in the mail today.
Really? So did I.
Yeah, so I got the fireside scent, and it is literally my favorite thing in the world right now.
I got my white tea and fig scent, and same.
Yeah, they're amazing. Not to mention, our cute little logo looks so good on the front of this candle.
I 100% agree, and I don't know. I want to send one to everyone.
Same. They're super affordable. They're natural because they're made out of soy.
And because they're made out of soy and they're natural, they burn evenly, there's no lingering smoky smell, and they even use my favorite wood wicks.
Yeah, so that nice little crackle, oh my goodness.
Especially with fireside, I imagine that would be so nice.
Yeah, it's literally like I'm sitting next to a campfire in my cramped little studio. It's perfect.
I love it. So, guys, if you want one, there are 9 fragrances, 5 customizable font options, or you can get some of their really fun standard label options. They have some Joe Exotic ones that are calling my name. So, if you want to buy some of these adorable, affordable candles, go to Heathen Hippo on Etsy.
And you can use our little code, CTKPOD, and save 10%.
Yeah, so literally not seeing any reason you shouldn't do that.
So, head on over right now. Like, right now.
Right now, do it. Okay, and we are back.
Yeah, great break.
Great break. I had a good little cry. All right, so now I am going to tell you the tale of the Hoia Baciu Forest, which is located in Romania.
Okay, you just said that, and as soon as you did, the sky got pretty dark, and now the wind is blowing through the trees outside my window, so thanks for that.
Ooh, good. It's interesting that you say the sky got dark, but we'll get into that later. The Hoia Baciu Forest covers an area of over 250 hectares, which is approximately 618 acres, mm-hmm. and is often referred to as the Bermuda Triangle of Romania.
Ooh.
I know, creepy. It was named for a local shepherd who disappeared in the forest with his flock of 200 sheep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, right? How the fuck do 200 sheep go missing?
Right?
Like, they're very loud.
Mm-hmm.
So neither him or his sheep were ever seen again.
Okay.
Yeah. Wild. Ever since his disappearance, reports of paranormal activity, inexplicable occurrences, and even UFO sightings have been reported. Now, adding to the mystery of this forest is the strange ways in which the trees form. They're almost all bent in really odd ways, and some even have trunks that spiral?
What?
Yeah, so, firstly, if you Google this forest, there's a picture that shows up where the trees grow, like, it looks like the trees almost form a hook from the ground. That's a picture of a forest in Poland, and it's not the Hoya Baciu forest, which is, yeah, somebody didn't do their homework before posting it, and now everybody thinks that's this.
Oh.
Yeah. But so when I say that the trunks spiral, like, you can literally see formations of the bark spiraling up the trunk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember. I found it in one article and then clicked off of it and couldn't find it again. The types of trees that these are never, like, they don't have that spiral effect anywhere else.
Okay.
Now, nobody's come up with any theories about why the tree trunks spiral, but to discuss or to try and theorize why they could be bent in odd ways, there are several theories that have arisen. So one is that people of the past used some kind of unknown tool or technique to cause the bends, which we have seen has been proven with Native Americans, how they used to tie trees in a certain way, which caused them to grow with, like, weird bends to mark pathways. But no tools have ever been found to prove that theory. And the bends don't really resemble those that have been proved. So it would have to be a tool we've never heard of and never discovered. Yeah, real strange. Another theory is that there was a snowstorm that mangled or damaged the trunks when they were saplings, and a very slow thaw, with ample snow weighing down the tops of the trees, caused them to become permanently misshapen.
Okay.
No evidence of a snowstorm of that magnitude or length had been found, though. And the final theory was quickly dismissed, but it's that there's a strange gravitational force within the forest. However, gravity pulls downwards, not sideways. So it didn't really make any sense, and everybody just went, no, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, real weird. Many hiking and biking trails wind through the forest, allowing you to get up close and personal with the weird trees.
Okay.
Yeah, not only weird trees, though, there's also... Wow, my eye is twitching so bad I can't read. Hold on. Oh my god, that was wild. Ugh, okay. So not only are the trees weird, but there's also a strange oval-shaped patch of earth where nothing grows. Yeah. So, despite these hiking and biking trails, many locals actually refuse to enter the forest, and some refuse to even speak of it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Many locals believe that if you enter the forest, like the shepherd, you will never return. Yeah, some locals, however, disregarded the warnings and entered the forest, and those that have complained that they experienced anxiety, malfunctioning electronics, a constant feeling of being watched, and several physical symptoms.
Yeah, don't like that.
Nope. Those symptoms included rashes, vomiting, migraines, scratches, lightheadedness, and burns, which they typically don't feel, but redness and, on rare occasion, blisters can be seen.
Ooh.
Yeah, not a fan.
Not at all.
Yeah. Symptoms like anxiety, the feeling of being watched, migraines, nausea, etc., could all be explained away with a simple argument of mind over matter.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if you go into the forest expecting to feel certain symptoms or experience something weird, it's very logical to assume, okay, my brain could have made that happen. Mm-hmm. Malfunctioning electronics could also be explained away by the presence of, you know, a magnetic field, which is pretty common in some forests, mountain areas, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, not that wild. But when you come to the weirdest physical symptom, the burns,
yeah,
it's a little bit more difficult to explain that away. Mm-hmm. So many have tried to rationalize that, hey, you know, maybe my skin came into contact with some kind of toxic plant that's harmful to human skin. Mm-hmm. Doctors, however, have disproved it. I couldn't find any information on how they disproved it, but apparently they did.
Okay.
So if it wasn't a plant, what the fuck was it?
Right.
Something else that's really creepy in regards to burning is that several of these trees have burnt bark that look like it's just slow, like it's been a slow burn over long periods of time.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, and I looked up summer temperatures in this forest. It's like a high of 71 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, so it doesn't get nowhere near.
Yeah, I mean, I thought even if it got to like 100 plus degrees, like it does in California, we don't get burnt trees. How fucking hot would it have to get?
Right.
I mean, obviously we have trees catch on fire, but that's very different from, oh, hey, some of the bark looks a little burnt here. Mm-hmm. moving on from that, though, I can't believe I just said archaeologists. Oh, gosh. Okay. Archaeologists have determined, based on soil, that there may have actually been a settlement in this forest at one point, presumably on the patch where nothing grows, otherwise known as the Circle. Mm-hmm. This settlement would have dated back to the Neolithic period and is believed to have been established around 6500 BC, making it the oldest settlement from that time period to be found in Romania.
Okay.
It is believed that the peasants who once lived in this forest are the spirits that now haunt it. According to all articles I was able to find, it's believed that the settlement met its end in the form of a brutal slaughter at the hands of a raiding party from the region's enemies. Now, obviously, if this were true, that's a pretty good way to get yourself some ghosts.
Yeah.
I'm just hearing Archer in my head, just, do you want ghosts? Because that's how you get ghosts. Obviously, he said it about ants, but I digress.
Whatever.
Whatever. Semantics. Now, if this is the case, it could explain why it's reported that activity towards the Circle is more frequent and more intense. Mm-hmm. The question everyone seems to have, however, is if there were truly a settlement, why are there no signs at all of any type of structure? So, I did a little bit of digging into this, because research. And so in 6500 BC, Romanians were already using cement to form their structures. And a quick Google search told me that cement would only take a few hundred years to break down to the point where there wouldn't be any recognizable signs of it.
Okay.
So 6500 BC is several thousand years ago. So it is very possible that, you know, all of these structures completely just dissipated. Mm-hmm. Because of this, it is plausible that the settlement really did exist. Regardless of its cause, though, the hauntings persist. Ooh. Spooky. Now, regardless of who or what haunts this forest, the hauntings are numerous. Photographs of black mist have been taken, which I hate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nope.
Black mist is never a good sign. Mm-mm. Also, there's one photo that is on, I will post it to the Patreon and the Facebook group, but so there's one photo that nobody talks about. but it's there. It's just like a disembodied head.
Ooh.
Like, it looks like there's just a head sitting in the forest. But the head, it's not even, like, slightly transparent. It looks like there's literally a decapitated head just floating in the forest.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, I came across that while I was looking for some of these photos. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I was not warned.
Yeah. Uh-oh. No.
Yeah, so that'll be available on Patreon and Facebook. So have fun with the nightmares.
Ooh.
People also describe a talking wind or disembodied voices heard throughout the forest.
Okay.
Some have reported seeing green eyes and a black mist that may or may not show in photographs. There have been lights with no logical source, poltergeist activity in the form of those scratches and burns mentioned earlier, and EVPs have been recorded on site. I unfortunately could not find any of those EVPs, but they supposedly exist.
Okay.
Photos taken in the circle have revealed hovering shapes and outlines of human forms. Hate it. Joggers in the area have also claimed to see various ectoplasms, and others report hearing a lot of giggling.
Ew.
Yeah. Giggling's the worst. People who live near the forest have reported seeing a large collection of orbs of light coming from inside the tree line. But upon trying to investigate this using... Did I say investigate right?
Yes.
I don't know. In my head, it sounded wrong. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So when trying to investigate this, people have used thermal technology to try and detect heat. No heat signatures have been detected.
Okay.
So that means there's no human in the forest causing these lights with, like, flashlights or whatever. And there aren't any fires either. So... what the fuck is causing this light from a forest?
Right.
Some who enter the forest report remembering all past experiences, but then forget the second they enter the second they exit the forest.
What?
Now, when it says past experiences, I couldn't find whether they mean, like, past life experiences or just I remember every single thing that ever happened to me in my life ever.
God, that'd have to be overwhelming.
Either way, that's overwhelming. And then the second they leave the forest, gone.
Yeah, that'd be frustrating. Well, I guess if it was gone, you wouldn't realize you knew.
Or would you go, okay, well, how would there be stories if they didn't realize they knew?
Yeah, but how?
Right? Like, I feel like it would be, wow, I just remembered. I feel like it would be when there's a dream, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a dream and you're, like, about to talk about it, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I don't remember anymore. I feel like it would be that kind of sensation.
Yeah, I hate that.
Like, you know it happened, but you can't remember what it was. And then I'm guessing when you step back inside the tree line, you're like, oh, shit, now I remember. Now let me go talk about it. And then it's gone again. I just want a cartoon of that. Can somebody make an artwork of, like, walking out of a I don't know, figure it out. Something in that realm. I'm not creative, you guys. Just, you do it. So, interestingly enough, the happenings in this forest drew in scientific researchers who have captured physical manifestation of faces and apparitions on film.
Ew.
Yeah, gross. Others have said that they saw these apparitions, but could not capture it on film, or that when they tried to capture it on film, it didn't show. It's been noted that experiences of paranormal investigators vary from those of locals, which is said to be a possible side effect of outsiders wishing to seek contact while locals may not. So, you know, you kind of bring what you want to the situation. Which, I don't want any of this, so.
Nope.
Now, another belief in regards to the circle is that it has nothing to do with the settlement and everything to do with UFOs.
Ugh.
Which, why would a UFO cause a lack of forest growth? I don't know, but...
Right?
I don't know, but some people think it does. So, there is actually some evidence to suggest an otherworldly presence in Hoyabachu. The forest didn't actually receive much notoriety until the late 1960s. On August 18th, 1968, a 45-year-old military technician, Emile Barnier, I don't know if I'm saying that name right, don't at me. I am saying the forest name right, though. I Googled it. So Emile Barnier captured a photo that has since been made famous of a saucer flying over the forest. Yeah. And there are actually several photos, and I will be posting those. There's some discrepancy as to who took the photos, but either way, I'll be posting them. I think it's important to note here as well that Barnia would have gained absolutely nothing from announcing his findings. Like, notoriety, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, Romania was a communist country. And their government equated a belief in the paranormal with madness and state sabotage.
Okay.
Yeah, so to openly announce to the world, hey, I found something paranormal, look at this, probably not the best move.
Mm-mm.
So publicizing his findings actually caused him to lose his job in a country that offered no support to the unemployed.
Okay.
So it's very appropriate to say he would have gained nothing from this. Because there were some who tried to question his motives, but then they're like, oh, why would he do it if it's just gonna fuck his life up? After these photos surfaced, the area became a hotbed for UFO sightings throughout the 1970s, as well as those inexplicable lights mentioned earlier. Another person actually happened to photograph UFOs as well. This person was Alexandru Sift, a biologist. So this is a person, the photos I'm going to be posting, it's argued whether it was Alexandru's photo or Barnea's photo, but not super important. he had actually taken an interest in stories of strange happenings prior to Barnea's photos and had been venturing deeper and deeper into the forest to research the light and magnetism phenomena. According to Sift, he had gathered a wealth of substantial photographic evidence, but unfortunately, most of that evidence was lost. In 1993, Alexandru Sift passed away, and all of his photographs either went missing or were destroyed.
What a coinkydink.
Yeah, so whether he was lying or there's some kind of conspiracy or just really unfortunate circumstances, most of his work was never recovered. What photos of his work were recovered ended up being published in a book by a chemistry professor who is also Sif's friend, Adrian. And I will say you can find the title of this book online, but I was not about to even attempt pronouncing it. It's all in Romanian, and no. So this friend actually continued Sif's research, and despite his friend's belief in UFOs, Adrian actually believed that all of the occurrences were natural, but unknown to science.
Okay.
Yeah, he swears that they're not paranormal or extraterrestrial. He often cites that it's very common to change behaviors while in the woods, as well as have a sudden onset illnesses. What?
Okay.
Yeah, apparently when I step into a forest, I'm just going to suddenly feel really sick.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah, just don't go to forests, I guess. I guess that's normal. He says it's possible that people were exposed to concentrated electromagnetic fields and that people could have what's called electromagnetic hypersensitivity. Now, this is a condition that is not recognized by either the medical or scientific community. But regardless of this, symptoms are said to be redness of the skin, tingling and or burning sensations, fatigue, tiredness, concentration difficulties, dizziness, nausea, heart palpitations, and digestive disturbances.
Okay.
So that would basically explain away every single one of the symptoms mentioned if it were true.
Right.
Yeah, because digestive disturbances would explain the vomiting, dizziness, nausea, blah, 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 blah. That's basically every single thing we covered. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you believe these occurrences are paranormal, extraterrestrial, or natural, you are welcome to take a guided tour. After COVID, of course.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So a man named Alex created what is known as the Hoya Bachu Project, which is a non-government nonprofit created to promote tourism and improve the image of Romania, as well as bring it some notoriety. He is not only the project manager, but he's also a tour guide.
Okay.
Now, there are a million amazing reviews of him on TripAdvisor, so might be something to consider one day. I know I won't be going, but yeah. No, thank you. When asked about camping overnight in the forest, Alex will actually refuse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He says up and down he doesn't think that the forest is haunted, but refuses to camp overnight, which I think is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently once while camping with friends in the forest, they were awoken by the sound of hooves. And he says it was like those of a horse or a particularly large deer.
Okay.
But upon them sticking their heads out of their tent to investigate, the noise would stop. So his next overnight trip to the forest, this guy who is either really brave or really fucking stupid, decided that he was going to sleep not in a tent, but in a hammock.
What the fuck?
In the hopes that he would get a glimpse of whatever may have caused the noise.
Okay.
Which, no fucking thank you.
Mm-mm.
You won't even find me in a tent in the forest, let alone a fucking hammock. Instead of determining what the cause of the noise was, however, he was pelted in the face with a fucking bat.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, no fucking thank you to that one. Mm-mm. I love bats. I am not afraid of bats, but I do not want to be pelted in the face with one.
Oh, a bat. Like...
You thought I meant, like, a baseball bat?
I was like, why would she be afraid of that? Oh, my God.
Also, though, why would I say pelted in the face of one instead of whacked in the face of one?
I thought maybe someone flung it and it just... Okay.
Okay, no. I know what happened. Okay, so whatever paranormal, extraterrestrial, whatever thing this was, stripped down one of these trees, crafted a bat on the spot, and then threw it across the forest.
There you go. Case closed.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
All right.
Wow, this episode has not been funny enough, so I think you just fixed that. Thank you.
Wow. Okay.
All right, so he was pelted in the face with the animal kind of a bat. And with that, he wrapped up that trip early and has not slept in the forest since, which, smart.
Yeah.
Despite those interactions, though, he adamantly states, the forest is only haunted if you bring your own ghosts.
Likely story.
Right? Like, I don't buy that, but thank you for trying to sell it to me. Mm-hmm. Now, there weren't a lot of openly available stories I could find, unfortunately, but there are two that I found. So one story tells of a 5-year-old girl who went missing in the forest. Despite several searches being conducted, no one was ever able to find her. She came back 5 years later wearing the same clothes, clean, and not appearing to have aged a day.
Yikes.
When asked where she was that whole time, she couldn't recall.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Me neither. So this leads many people to believe that the forest may be a portal to another dimension, which, if you're familiar with the, Eliza Lamb story, I fucking hate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, you can listen to it on our Patreon for $10. Mm-hmm. because Katie did an amazing job terrifying me with that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm thinking about it again and I hate it. It is also believed that some 1,000 people may have disappeared in Hoya Bachu.
Yeah, 1,000?
Yeah, I couldn't find anything on these 1,000 missing people, but it was said across several articles.
So, over 1,000 people, 200 sheep. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck are all these people going?
Not to mention the fucking sheep!
Yeah.
I really want to know what happened to the sheep. That baffles me. But it does kind of make you wonder if they'll return one day.
Right. Like, are sheep just going to pop out of nowhere?
Just all of a sudden, you're hiking through the woods and then...
And they'll all be carrying baseball bats.
Yes. Yes. That gives a whole new meaning to counting sheep. The other story I found came from a Reddit user, so take it for what you will. But, Katie, remember how I said that it was interesting that you mentioned it got dark outside?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to resurface in this, so,
uh-oh.
You know, enjoy that. So, this story comes from Reddit user PsychoDuck1. I don't. These names, you guys.
Wow. PsychoDuck1. All right. Yeah.
So, PsychoDuck stated that he and his friends were spending time together on what appeared to be a beautiful summer day. They rode their bikes and then eventually found themselves at the edge of Hoya Bachu. And keep in mind, I did actually paraphrase this one, so these are not their exact words. They then ventured into the forest and were kind of just hanging around, goofing off, when their, and I quote, crappy Alcatel cell phone began to ring randomly. Now, they weren't receiving any phone calls or text messages, so it was a little bit strange, but they kind of ignored it.
Okay.
That is, until immediately after the phone ringing, they had this unnerving feeling that they were being watched.
Ugh.
Yeah. So it's at this point that they do the smart thing and they're like, we're gonna nope the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So they began to hurriedly move away from the area, but recalled that it started to get dark very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sun was setting far faster than normal.
Ew.
God, I keep feeling like my blanket's moving, the one that's to the left of me, and it's freaking me out. So once out of the forest, though, it was no longer dark. It was still a bright and sunny day.
What?
Uh-huh. They also recall that it felt like they had spent half the day in the forest, but in reality, only 2 hours had passed.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the end of that.
What?
So that was the Hoya Bachu Forest, you guys. Like I said, you can go on tours of it when coronavirus is over, if it ever is. And I would definitely check out the Hoya Bachu Project so that you can look into that or check them out on TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all of my sources will be in the show notes because there are 12 different ones, and that's just a lot. Yeah. So, Katie.
Yes.
What are your CTKs this week?
Okay, well, first of all, I started my new job. So that was very thrilling. I absolutely love it. So it's for a smaller company. So it's pretty, I guess intimate would be the word to use. You get to really work with and get to know everyone that's there. So I really like that. I mean, everybody knows your name. Everyone says good morning to each other. I really like that aspect of it. And I'm picking up on things fairly quickly. So that's fun.
Yay.
And then my chills for the week are coming from the fact that when we started recording today, my laptop started acting crazy, and so did Skype. So I say when we started recording because I've had my laptop at work all day today and have not had a single issue with it. I've been messing around with it at home before we started to record, but as soon as I sat down to record, everything goes to shit. So I'm not really sure why that happens, but I've had issues with it every time we record since we did the cursed recording episode.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to be saging the hell out of my house again this week. I also need to do a couple of other things just because I've already saged my house like 12 times in the past 2 years, and it helps for a little bit, but then it just goes right back to whatever was happening. And now since we've been recording and I've been looking up all these paranormal topics, it just seems to be getting worse.
Yep.
My boyfriend told me a great little story the other night. We were laying in bed, and I was knocked out, which normally doesn't happen. Normally, like, the smallest sound will wake me up. Like, if he moves an inch, I wake up. But apparently, I needed sleep that night because I was knocked out. And he told me that he woke up and something was standing over me in the bed.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
Like on the side of the bed. And I've seen that before, and we've both seen something at the foot of the bed. So that's not really anything new. The only thing is, like I said, I wake up if someone's looking at me, if something feels off. So it kind of concerns me that that didn't wake me up. And then he also said that he had fallen back asleep, and he woke up because he heard whispering, and he woke up and looked, and there was something standing on his side of the bed. And it also concerns me because my dogs don't growl or bark at whatever this is. They whimper, and my dogs aren't afraid of shit. Like, my dogs are not afraid of anything. So the fact that whatever this is makes them cower really freaks me out. So, yeah, what about you? What are your CTKs?
I mean, now that, yeah. Jesus. Well, mine are, so my fridge just got here while we were recording, so that's yay. Fun. So that's my only happy one. my other one is I think I am also being haunted, and I'm going to be saging after this. The people I live with that listen to this episode are probably going to be very thrilled to hear that. So my cats recently have been acting very strange. It started after that cursed recording and then actually got worse after Katie's last episode that scared the crap out of me. Thanks. So like my cat Tiger Lily is usually really fine. Like she's probably the most independent of the three. Though she will, like, she's very snuggly. But so recently, anytime I go into the bathroom for, like, even a second, she starts meowing outside the door. Mm-hmm. Like, just consistent meowing.
Okay.
Then my cat Astara, one of the other times I went into the bathroom, my cat Astara would not leave the bathroom. So I was like, okay, fine. I'm only going to be in here for 5 seconds, whatever. She starts just looking up at the ceiling.
Ew.
And then towards the bathroom door and then up towards the ceiling, which I hate. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I feel like I keep hearing things through my headphones, like, right next to me, and I'm freaking out.
My dogs just barked, and it freaked me the fuck out.
Great. And then, so, like, at night, I usually close the bathroom door just because I don't like having, like, mirrors visible from my bed. And also we'll hide, like, the cats have a crinkle tunnel, and so we'll hide that in the bathroom so they can't use it at night and wake us up. Mm-hmm. But so the other night I left it open because I'm an idiot, and one of the cats went from in the bathroom, and they were, like, it was, like, so it was Primrose, and she's, like, looking at it like there's something in front of her. She followed it to over right next to my bed and then ran towards the closet and started scratching at the closet door like she was trying to get in. And I was watching this whole thing. There was no bug she was chasing. And Primrose never scratches at the closet door if it's closed, ever. Mm-mm. That happened. And then Tiger Lily just the other day started scratching at the closet door too, which is, again, not in her character either. The only cat that scratches at this fucking door is Astara.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that either. Meanwhile, I'm sitting in this closet while we record, and I hate it. And then last night, Primrose just all of a sudden, and Primrose is a very, very quiet cat, okay? She all of a sudden, out of nowhere, around 3 a.m., starts meowing very loudly. Mm-mm. Like, startled the fuck out of me loudly, and I go over there and she's staring up at the ceiling.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, she's just staring at the spot on the ceiling, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand what's happening. There's no noise coming from upstairs, and even if there was, there's been noise that comes from upstairs because somebody lives above us and they've never reacted before. But all of a sudden she's freaking the fuck out. So then I start petting her and she's like, okay. And then the second I walk away, she starts meowing again. And I go to, and so, like, sometimes she'll meow at me and be like, I want more pets, which is a new development that I love. But I tried petting her and she wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
So she wasn't meowing because she wanted me to pet her. And then she starts focusing on the ceiling again and then runs around like she's chasing something. And this is not her normal behavior.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so I absolutely hate this. And part of me was like, okay, well, there was an earthquake in Alaska, so, like, maybe a big earthquake in California is coming, which I'm always scared of. But, like, even then, why would they be chasing something? So that, like, if it was just the meowing, okay, maybe, because, you know, animals can pick up on deeper vibrations than we can and tend to know when things like that are going to happen. Mm-hmm. But it's the chasing something I can't see that's making me go, there's no way it's an earthquake.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
Yeah, plus I keep having this feeling like I'm being watched, especially when I'm in the bathroom, which is gross to me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. There's, I just feel extra anxious lately, which is, I mean, not saying much because I'm always extremely anxious. I'm just an anxious person. But it's, like, a lot more intense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm going to be saging here really, really soon.
That's probably a good idea.
And maybe looking into some, like, protection sachets and just a bunch of other stuff because I'm over this.
Yeah, so sounds like both of us are having great luck in this department.
So yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, we're both being haunted, probably. My cats are doing everything they can to make sure I'm aware of it, which is great. Like, it actually is great, but it's also not. So, yeah.
Yeah, so send us good vibes.
Yeah, send us good vibes, prayers, witchy hoodoo that protects us, you know, all of the above. Mm-hmm. Only if you know what you're doing, though. Please don't accidentally curse us.
Or hex us or anything. Oh, my God, please.
Yeah. But I think we're going to wrap it up so I can get out of my haunted closet and Katie can get some sleep for work. All right. So if you like us, maybe even love us, please support us on Patreon. You can do that at patreon.com/ctkpod. Mm-hmm. You can also join us on Twitter or Instagram at
ctkpod.
You can send us mail, which I forgot to mention. So you can make that out to Chills, Thrills, and Kills at 520 North Ventu, Ventu Park Road, number 273 in Newberry Park, California, 91320. That will be posted, as always, in our show notes, as well as anywhere else you can find us online. You can also join our Facebook group at
CTK Podcast, and you can also send any listener stories or any little tidbits of information you would like us to have to chillsthrillsandkills@gmail.com.
Yeah, and that wraps that. So until next time,
bye.
Bye.